Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Dave Plyra here with you on 720 WGN. Comedian Pat McGann is also in the studio. Now, that clip you just heard was Jimmy Kimmel talking about the late Don Rickles, which Don sitting next to him, which was just classic. I loved him when he made those talk show rounds. And every year, I have a little celebration of Don. He would ask, you know, everybody. I'm not going to name drop here, but he would ask Letterman. He would talk to Kimmel. He would ask Conan O'Brien, John Stamos, Howard Stern, keep my name alive. Because I think he realized at some point that, you know, there's some stars have been gone for a long time. You never hear about them anymore. There are albums on or out there. There's no specials. No one's running anything. And do they become forgotten?
Right.
So keeping Don's name alive is super important to me. And, you know, it wasn't until he was in World War II, went to the Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City. But it wasn't until that first appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1965 did he really take off. And he always attributes Johnny. He attributes Sinatra getting him into the big clubs. And, of course, Dean Martin on all those famous roasts. And he was in big movies like Run Silent, Run Deep, The Rat Race, Kelly's Heroes, all the way up to Casino with Robert De Niro. And, of course, he was the voice of Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story franchise. Put out a book published in 2007, Mr. Warmth, Don Rickles Project, got him an Emmy Award. And there was also the One Night Only, an all-star comedy tribute to Don Rickles with David Letterman, Jerry Seinfeld, Jon Stewart, and so many others. So tonight we are going to celebrate that legacy with comedian Bob Newhart, who was his best friend. We're going to talk to, you're going to hear a conversation that I had with Don backstage in Vegas in 2016. Michael Starr about his book, The Merchant of Venom, about Don Rickles, and Tony Opodisano, who is Don's road manager and who was also Sinatra. So we're going to hear all about that tonight. But Pat McGann, he's going to be on stage at the Rialto Theater on
Finally.
Friday.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about this dead
Holy
guy all night. If Don Rickles were here, I'd be like, hey, Don, I'm sorry, but you're dead. So we're not talking about you. You're gone.
He used to say that about Sinatra when he was gone. He goes, I can say a lot of funny things about him because he's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
No, I get to see a lot of, you know, Don Rickles is never far from my mind because I'm going into a lot of comedy clubs, venues,
yeah,
and you know, there's drinks named after him. His picture's on the wall.
Yeah.
There's paintings of him.
It's true.
And a lot of comics talk about him, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's wild to hear the resume and think about the, you know, my grandparents were aware of him. They're gone.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
And my kids.
Yeah.
You know, with the
Toy Story.
Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
So what a career. True legend. I got to work, never with Don Rickles, never met Don Rickles, but the closest I've gotten is Brad Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Garrett is, he's carrying the Don Rickles torch. He is.
He's a comedy club in Vegas.
He's a comedy club in Vegas. Yeah. It's at MGM Grand, okay. And that's his style. He's an insult comic. He comes out, blasts everybody that's sitting up front. And, you know, because I know some people that saw Don Rickles live and sat up front.
You know what's really funny, too, is like there was no really comedy clubs when Rickles started.
Sure. Like, yeah, he'd probably do like Mr. Kelly's here or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, the Tonight Show. I mean, that I hate to say it, but some of the late night talk shows don't matter as much. You can get notoriety on social media in a matter of minutes.
Right.
Than doing that as well. But he started as a comedian in strip clubs. That's where he was. And then the smaller places in Vegas, you know, and his buddies used to joke with him. Bob Newhart would say, you know, I'm in the big room. Don's in the smaller room downstairs. But he'd pack it. He'd absolutely pack it. But you're going to pack the Rialto Square Theater Friday, May 17th. Ticketmaster.com, RialtoSquare.com. And that's something you're looking forward to. You love being on tour.
I am really looking forward to this one because I went to the Rialto years ago, but I've never performed there.
Oh, first time.
It's a beautiful place. I don't know if you've seen it. You know, I think they call it like the Jewel of Joliet.
Yeah.
It was built around the same time as like the Chicago Theater. That kind of style.
Those movie palaces.
Movie palace.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't do that anymore.
They don't do that for Cocaine Bear.
No.
We're going to bring in a marble staircase for Batman 12.
You're totally right. No, you're totally
right. Where's the chandelier and Michelangelo?
Yeah.
We have another Marvel movie to share with you.
Yeah, and then you're after the Rialto, which is going to be great. You're this summer. You're going back on tour with Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yes, yeah, really looking forward to that.
How cool is that?
It's going to be great. It's pretty much straight arenas.
It's amazing.
Which is, you know, there's not many comics doing what Sebastian's doing.
Yeah, and, it's very true.
You know, at one point in September, we're going to Madison Square Garden. It's like five nights in a row.
You talked about that before. That
which is going to be insane.
Insane.
So I'm really looking forward to it. He's been really good to me, and he took a little time off. You know, he's been doing like the residency in Vegas at the Wynn.
Okay.
But other than that, he hasn't really been touring.
Okay.
So we're going to be back out there, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
So he's ready too.
I think so. Yeah, I bet he's got a lot of new stuff, and you know, the road pulls at you when you're off it. You know, when you're on it, you're ready to get off it, and then when you're off it, you're like, "Oh man, do I have to? I got to get back out there, or it's gonna be over."
Well, I was gonna say, how often are you writing?
I go in spurts, but you know, when things are happening, I try and you know, it takes me a while to digest something, and then I'll kind of revisit it, and if it sticks with me, then I'll end up writing something about it or talking about it on stage more than writing. Now is just kind of working it out.
It's kind of you are a great observer when you're watching people talk and stuff, and I think that's how you take it in, and then you can turn it into that comedy, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's like, you know, the whole thing going on here tonight with the stuff not working, that's an opportunity to make some jokes, right?
Legacy, I mean, it's always something. 102-year-old radio station, you
it's
know.
It's usually something that bothers you.
Oh,
you know,
me.
Something you feel passionate about.
Yeah.
Well, that's where comedy comes from.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's true.
There's no shortage of bad things happening in the world.
No.
Right? Everything's falling apart.
Yeah, but like how much you want to put into the act too, because you want to talk a little bit and be topical about it, but you don't want to also bring people down because there's a lot of crap going on.
No, you want it, you know, comedy is an escape, and I think that's what you're seeing in these live shows is people are appreciating it more than ever because they're craving it.
Yeah.
Because it brings two things. It brings a communal experience, which is, you know, not as common anymore. So you're with people. You're out.
It's true.
You're connecting as a group.
Yeah.
And a live show, entertainment. So I can feel it from people leaving the shows that they're more appreciative than ever.
And who does that anymore? I mean, people are watching. They're not even going to the movie theater anymore. So if you're going to see a comedy, you know, I did that last night and it was just amazing to hear all the laughter and you're doing something communally together because you're not doing that anymore. You're not doing it on television. You're not doing it. People aren't going to the theaters as much anymore. So going to a live comedy show, it's exhilarating.
You know, it's funny how this came together, Juliet Show, now I'm thinking about it. I went to the Chicago Theater. A buddy of mine was hosting the Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Watching the movie.
Yeah.
So I went and watched my friend, Tony Deo. He hosted this thing. And I watched the movie. In the theater, at the Chicago Theater, with the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, this is, I forgot how fun this is.
Yes.
Everybody laughing at the same time. Everybody like gearing up, you know the scene that's coming. And and that's actually the promoter for that event is the same guy that books the Rialto.
Oh, okay.
And that is when I booked the show. So.
Is it live?
Nightlight.
Nightlight. See, we did Ferris Bueller's Day Off yesterday, and Alan Ruck, who was Cameron, was on stage, and I interviewed him on stage yesterday. But when you're laughing along with 3,000 of your closest friends, it was spectacular.
Oh, very cool! I didn't know that was going on. I would have gone to that.
It was at the Auditorium Theater, which is just beautiful. A few thousand of your friends laughing along with you.
Oh, what a great movie too.
Let's talk about sports, because now gearing up for summer sports, and my son's in soccer. And you look at these schedules and, you know, why are we playing games on Mother's Day and Father's Day? Like, can't we just spend time with our kids?
We had a game the other night, last weekend. It was like a Friday night at 7 o'clock in Bridgeport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I live in Beverly, Morgan Park.
Yeah.
We played a team from Mount Greenwood.
Yeah.
In Bridgeport on Friday night at like 7 o'clock, prime time.
Okay.
Fifth grade boys volleyball.
Yeah.
I don't see any of these kids picking up a volleyball ever. They're borrowing kids from other teams.
Yeah.
Why are we going? I mean, it really is getting to be kind of crazy with the
scheduling.
You know, you ever look around at a kid's game and think about all the wasted brain power? Like every parent sitting there staring at their phone.
Not all of them.
Staring into an abyss.
Not all of them. There's some that get up there and they're screaming not only at the kids, but they're coaching. We have coaches.
Or are they screaming?
But they're coaching. Yeah. Of course they do.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's a very unhealthy... My son had to try out for hockey. He's 8 years old.
Yeah. Oh.
And he's third grade. You have to try out, really? You know what the tryout was? Can you come up with $2,500? That was a tryout.
Yeah.
He came home. He's like, I made the team. I was like, oh, I know. I got the notification from Chase.
Yeah.
It went through. Are you number 4.9%? Because that's what we financed it at.
But I will tell you, even the parents that are out there, it's like, did they not do well in sports? Are they just frustrated with their own sporting career that they're just yelling and screaming out there?
Yeah, I wonder sometimes if they're thinking like, oh, I know what I didn't do, so yeah. I'll get them to do that. Yeah, that's why I didn't make it, you know? But now you have to do that. You have to multiply that by how many other countries are participating.
Yeah.
How many other?
Yeah,
it's global. Yes. All these.
Yeah,
you know. So you're competing. You have no chance. You're gonna get cut in high school. It's gonna end in high school. So stop going to. I have a friend that brought his team to Mississippi for a tournament.
There's kids that do travel hockey. Friends of mine, and like they're sixth grade, fifth grade, and they're going to practice at 9:45 at night.
Oh yeah.
How are we torturing these kids like this?
And then we complain about it too. It's like we sign them up, and then we complain about it.
We do.
We give them a phone, and then we complain about how the phone is ruining them.
All right. Pat McGann in studio is going to be at the Rialto Theater Friday, May 17th. Ticketmaster.com, RialtoSquare.com. I always play a little Doc Severinsen when I have you.
Oh, is that what that was? That was Doc?
Yeah, it's like.
Love that.
That's how the comedians are introduced. You get that playoff music, the play on music, all that.
I can hear his sport coat.
Can you? There was one time he was here in Chicago and we had a Johnny Carson exhibit at the Broadcast Museum and he was looking at a picture of one of his outfits. He goes, is that where that went?
No kidding. Really?
It was in a glass case. Like, wow, I love that jacket. I love that jacket. It's getting into summer now. Like, you know, what are plans for like any vacations with the kids and stuff?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got to get that together. I got to plan some trips.
Yeah.
Because I do like traveling with them now.
Yeah.
Sometimes I bring them on the road with me. I like sharing a hotel room with them, you know?
Okay.
Because really? I like to dry myself off with a hand towel. I like to get in there last. Because I tell my kids when we check in, I'm like, you use every towel.
Yeah.
Just throw it when you're done. Launch it into the corner of the room. Make a pile.
Yeah.
We have endless use of towels.
Kids have different expectations of vacations. Like when we went on vacation as kids, we didn't have a choice. We were kind of like jammed in the car and that was it.
Oh, yeah. It was like an abduction. You know? Like to throw you in the back seat. Where are we going? Out of state.
Out of state. And we're going to Lincoln's tomb.
Yeah.
We're
did anyone pack for me? Don't worry about it. Yeah, Lincoln's tomb. We always did the old stuff.
It was a time that I feel like everything had to be educational when we were on the road. Like maybe we got to stay at the Holiday Inn and go to Six Flags in St. Louis when there was no Six Flags up here. But
we went to Williamsburg, Virginia. To like Colonial America.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you go back to school and kids are coming back from Disney World. Like, you want to hold off on the Space Mountain story?
What do they like doing?
I'm going to show you guys how to churn butter.
What do they like doing? Like, they like the beach? Do they like, is there a destination that they enjoy? Do they dictate it to you?
They like the beach town, you know, going up to Michigan, like cottage style, something like that.
Okay, like that, yeah.
Rent a, you know, VRBO, rent someone else's house. Like, hey, this is what, you know. I maybe could have this if I worked hard. If I had to sign you up for all your leagues.
Yeah.
If we took the money we put towards your failing sports careers, we would have a cottage like this. But we don't have time to be up here.
It's true. And that schedule jacks up going on vacation half the time.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. You can't leave. Can't leave town.
We got games.
Saturday morning, Sunday morning. Where are we going?
Yeah, your calendar is full already.
Yeah.
It's hard to even keep track of.
Yeah.
Like, we've become like publicists, travel managers, all for these kids that don't even really listen to us or look at us.
That's true.
And they don't want to be there.
That's true. I have a texter asking, who was your comedy influence? We're talking about Rickles.
Oh, my comedy influence. Well, there's a lot, right? I mean, I think it's wild. So, that's a great question because, you know, I think about like really my neighborhood and my family and friends and, you know, and then
that like, were funny, you mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, just like, but then also, like, yeah, real comics that were working. I loved Seinfeld growing up. I loved Saturday Night Live growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember sneaking away to watch Eddie Murphy, like Delirious.
Oh, yeah.
And Raw.
It's funny you say that, sneaking away. A lot of kids did that, like, around the corner downstairs when they knew dad or mom was watching something.
Like, yeah, older kids in my block that were hyping it up. And it was like, you know, all the parents were going to be down in one house.
Yeah.
And we're at another house in a basement. I remember watching Delirious, you know, in the red and doing the, you know, the stuff that I could relate to is the McDonald's hamburger and being in the bath, you know, with his brother. And
Are you too young to remember albums or cassettes, at least comedy cassettes that you would listen to?
I more remember like watching it on cable TV, when cable exploded, but also my parents watching late night comics on Carson and Letterman too. Letterman, huge influence, watching his show, everything he did from sketches, Man on Street,
everything
to the stand-ups he had.
No question. The Rialto Square Theater, that's where Pat McGann's going to be Friday, May 17th. Ticketmaster.com or go to rialtosquare.com to find out more. Thanks, pal. I appreciate it.
Dave, great to see you, man.